Welcome to God's house. This is a very special Sunday. It is the second Sunday of end time, and the focus of that Sunday is on last judgment. So in the scripture lessons, we'll be hearing about that glorious day when God judges the earth. Wonderful for those who are his children, terrifying for those who have rejected Christ. But today is also our Walking Together Sunday. We celebrate that every year. Walking together is the basic meaning of synod. And so today we're celebrating our fellowship together and all of the things that our synod gives to our congregation and the work that we can do together. And our preacher today is Mark Zarling, the president of Martin Luther College in New Ulm, our ministerial training college. So we're learning a great deal about the work of the synod. May the Lord bless your worship today. We begin with the opening hymn, number 243, O Worship the King, a hymn that is roughly based on the first lesson of today's service. May God bless your worship. The order of worship begins on page 4 of your service folder. We rise as we call upon the Lord.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God, our Father, asking him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Our Heavenly Father has been merciful to us and has given his only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In the peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord.
Let us pray.
Lord God Almighty, so rule and govern our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit that we may always look forward to the end of the present age, evil age, and to the day of your righteous judgment. Keep us steadfast in true and living faith, and present us at last holy and blameless before you. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The first scripture lesson of today's service is written in the 7th chapter of the book of the prophet Daniel. The Lord granted Daniel a number of visions. In this brief one, Daniel sees the end of time. He sees the day of judgment, the day when the Ancient of Days, the Lord himself, will appear and judge the entire earth, a day to be fervently wished for God's people, a day, unfortunately, to be dreaded by those who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. As I looked, thrones were set in place, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was as white as snow. The hair of his head was white like wool. His throne was flaming with fire, and its wheels were all ablaze. A river of fire was flowing, coming out from before him. Thousands upon thousands attended him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the books were open. This is the word of the Lord. We join together in praising the Lord in the psalm chosen for this day. Instructions for singing it are in your bulletin, Psalm 50.
Thank you.
The second lesson for this second Sunday of end time is written in the fifth chapter of Paul's first letter to the Thessalonian Christians. In the verse in the chapter before our text, Paul had talked about the coming of the Lord and how it would take place. And now he speaks to his people in Thessalonica and to us about how we should be ready for that, how we should look upon the coming of the last day. Now, brothers, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying, peace and safety, destruction will come upon them suddenly, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. For those who sleep, sleep at night. Those who get drunk, get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. This is the word of the Lord. We rise for the words of Jesus. The Holy Gospel is written in the 25th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Matthew. The Savior himself describes for us that final day of judgment. Jesus said, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, When did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me." They also will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you?" He will reply, "I tell you the truth. Whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. This is the gospel of the Lord. We sing of that last day of judgment in the hymn of the day, "Great God, What Do I See and Hear?" Hymn number 208. Thank you.
grace, mercy, peace, joy, life. These are your possessions given to you by God our Father through our Lord and our Savior Jesus. He is the Christ. Our meditation this morning based upon the opening verses from John chapter 9. As Jesus went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. Lord, sanctify us through the truth. Your word alone is truth. Amen. You know what, friends? I shouldn't be standing up here. In fact, for the first part of my life, I would have stumbled over the steps trying to get into this pulpit. I would have bumped into that furniture. Anytime I was in a new situation, family or friends had to take hold of my hand and lead me around. You see, I was born blind. Oh, you don't know me. You don't even know my name. The Holy Spirit of God did not see fit to record my name in John chapter 9. And I realize that's a good thing. Because I'm excited to tell people my story, but I don't want them to focus on me. I want them to focus on the one who turned my life upside down for the good. You see, I was blind, but now I see. And I'm going to ask you to listen to my story for a few minutes, but I want you to watch Jesus. I want you to watch Jesus open eyes. I want you to watch Jesus open hearts. Now, back in my day, to be born blind was a sentence of poverty, begging. Oh, my parents loved me. They tried to support me. But you have to remember, back then, there were no ADA laws. The state of Judah did not have the school for the blind. There was no Social Security with benefits for those with disabilities. And so, on their meager income, they didn't last long. My parents helped me find a corner with a basket and beg. You think that's easy? The sheer number of beggars made a lot of people rather callous. I mean, over there is someone crippled by an accident. Over there is an orphan. Over there is someone born lame. I mean, I could hear it. So many of us, people would kind of pick up their pace when they got close to my corner and walk on by. And that would hurt. I thought maybe it's a good thing I can't see. And then I would be able to watch people avert their eyes and ignore my existence. Or worse yet, look at me and look through me as if I'm a sack of refuse. You have to understand, I did a lot of thinking sitting there in my darkness. And I kept wondering, why me, Lord? Why did this happen? And then that day I heard the friends of Jesus kind of ask the same question. "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" I mean, you can bet my ears perked up on that one. I want to know the answer. And I thought for a second, and I remembered that the friends of Jesus are kind of talking like the friends of Job. You see, my daddy read to me from the scroll of Job a lot. I suppose he wanted me to understand other people had suffering and heartache, not just me. Well, you remember Job, all those horrible things that happened, lost everything. Well, he had some friends, three of them, Bildad, Eliphaz, and Zophar. They came to comfort him. But what did they say? Job, you did something horrible that God has punished you this way. Out with it. Repent. Confess. Get it off your chest. Job, what did you do? And the friends of Jesus were thinking just like the friends of Job. Rabbi, who sinned? Can I ask you to look into your heart for a moment? Do you ever think that way? You hear about something horrible happening to an individual. And is your first question, I wonder why? Or maybe you know a family, and they've just gone through a long period of trouble. Maybe it's debilitating illness. Maybe it's finances that have just crumbled in this economy. Maybe their relationships are unraveling to the point of rupturing. And do you think maybe God's pulling the shade of His grace and He wants them to sit in the darkness of judgment? Let me turn it around. Maybe after this service, you're going to go out for dinner with family and friends. Don't misunderstand me. What a blessing. Some fellowship time with people you love and care about. Some good food. Enjoy it. It's a blessing of God. But did you ever ask yourself why you're able to do that and spend as much money on one meal with your family and friends as a day laborer in India would earn in 90 days? Does that mean God loves you more? Or maybe you don't think about those things. Maybe your schedules are so busy you don't have time to stop and think. I had all the time in the world. I sat in there in my darkness on that corner. I kept asking those questions. How come, God? And I would remember the Bible says there is no difference. The Bible says all have sinned. The Bible says all have fallen short. But then it kept coming back, why me? Why catastrophe? Why accidents? Why trouble? Why me? And then He spoke. Neither sinned. This happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. God's going on display in my life? And I'm wondering, who spit? And then I feel these little mud globules on my eyes. And he said, go wash. How could I not? I just heard him say, I am the light of the world. And he stopped and he talked to me. He stopped and he touched me. Oh, and that command was just dripping with promise. And so I stumbled and fumbled my way to that pool called Scent, Siloam. I can't even begin to describe it. I kneel over the water and I'm washing off the mud and the spit. And all of a sudden I see light bouncing off the water. And I look up with my face dripping wet and I see blue sky. And you can bet I started to yell. I'd never seen the sky before. And as I'm yelling, I'm seeing people looking at me. And I can see faces. You can't imagine what kind of day it was. Oh, I thought I can go home. I can finally see my mom and dad. I can see their faces. Oh, my mom's face. I had touched often enough and tried to hug it. And I felt the tears. She would cry when she held me. My dad, I wanted to see those hands, those big hands that picked me up every time I stumbled, carried me over a ravine. I couldn't wait to go home. Greatest day in my life. I was blind, but now I see. Jesus opened my eyes. And I got home. Oh, most everybody was happy with me. But you know, there were a few neighbors that said, nah, it's not the guy. Can't be. That's impossible. It's a look-alike. The real guy's still on the corner. And I wanted to grab him. Can't you see? I was blind. But now I see. Can you see? And you say, stupid question, we're looking at you. But seriously, I'm looking at people that look like me. You're human beings. And you're not in heaven yet. And that means you're a sinner, just as I am. And that means you walk through those doors carrying a bunch of baggage. I don't know how heavy it is, but I know you've been carrying baggage. And sometimes for 20 or 30 years. things that you have not been able to forget, a word spoken, a harsh deed, a conscience burdened, and you drag it around. But I have to tell you, it's worse than that. By nature, you were blind as I was. And if you don't think so, consider this. Have you ever been blinded by rage, so angry you don't think straight? Have you ever been blinded by the dazzling neon of the world's advertisements, and you buy stuff you don't need with money you don't have to impress people you don't even know, and you get home and say, where do I put it? Blinded? Have you ever been blinded by the worldview of humanism, and you've started to suck in the idea that somehow it's your life, and that you have control over that life, and you can make that life good, and you can have success in that life based upon what you do, and you've suddenly pushed the first commandment of God out of your life, thinking it all depends on you? Blinded? People of God, repent. But you do see, otherwise you wouldn't be sitting here. Because God has stepped into your life just as dramatically as he stepped into mine. And he's healed you. Oh, he didn't use the tepid water of the pool of Siloam. Christ came to you one-on-one in the powerful water of holy baptism, water and the word, and he washed you and opened you, your eyes to see him as Savior. And he healed you, not with spit and street dirt. He healed you with a blood bath dripping from his very hands and side that has now purified you so that you're presented to the Father as righteous. You see what the skeptics can never see. You see the smile of the Father. You see heaven open. You see death but a doorway. Christ has opened your eyes. And he wasn't done with me. I mean, I thought it was the greatest day of my life. I knew it was a miracle, but he had more to do. You have to watch Jesus open my heart. You see, three times that day I was caught on the carpet. First time I hinted at, the neighbor said, nah, it's not the guy. And I said, look, this rabbi from Nazareth, he spit, made some mud, put it on my eye, said, go and wash. Well, the story got out and about to the religious bigwigs. They were pretty upset because it happened on a Sabbath. I'm thinking, what's the big deal? Jesus didn't do it because it was his job. He didn't do it to earn money. He loved me. But they brought me in. They asked me questions. And I said, well, he must be a prophet. Do you know they dragged in my mom and dad at their age? Is this your son? Was he really born blind? And they harassed them. Now, I can't blame my folks, not at their age. And they were afraid of being kicked out of the synagogue. And they simply said, he's of age, ask him yourself. They dragged me in again. Now, what am I supposed to do? Change my story? Just because I never went to school doesn't make me stupid. I know I was born blind. I know I see. I know that's impossible. God's got to be involved. And so I said, if this man were not from God, he could do nothing. You are steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture to us? And they threw me out. So I picked myself up and brushed myself off, and I'm thinking, what gives? Greatest day in my life. And then I remembered that my daddy also read to me from the scroll of Isaiah. And the prophet said that when the Messiah would come, the anointed of God, he would open the eyes of the blind. He would release from dungeon those who sit in darkness. And I thought, is this rabbi from Nazareth the anointed of God? The Christ? The Messiah we have longed for? Could he be the same? And I'm thinking about this, and I look up, and there's a man standing in front of me. And he says, do you believe in the Son of Man? Oh, and I wanted to. I wanted to believe in the one who let me see. And it was he. You have now seen him, he said. And I'm face to face with God, the Son of God, the Christ. And don't you understand, he came back for me? He healed my eyes, but more than that, he came back to touch my heart, to remove all those questions that were there because of all the questioning I'd gone through, to remove the doubts and the fears. He came back for me again and made sure that I knew he is the Savior. But I'm not telling you something you don't know. He's worked the same miracle in you. He's not only opened your eyes to see him as the Savior of the world, he's opened your heart to find the peace that only Christ can bring. You see, Jesus comes to you again and again, doesn't he? And through the gospel, he says, you are a child of God. And the Spirit takes that message and touches your heart, and you say, Our Father. Jesus comes to you and says, you are fully and freely forgiven forever. As far as the east is from the west, your sins removed from God. And Jesus makes a promise, I will remember their sins no more. The omniscient one says, I'll forget. And the Spirit takes that gospel and changes your heart. And you say, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief, because I can forget. My old nature keeps dragging it up. Lord, let me believe. And Jesus comes and says to you, you are an heir of heaven. And the Spirit changes your heart. And you learn to say with the apostle, oh, the present suffering's not worth to be compared to the glory that will be revealed in us. Jesus has come into your life and worked a miracle. So much so that you support the work of the gospel here and through your Christian school, through the work of your church body. You even support a school that trains miracle workers. Well, I'm not saying the students at Martin Luther College are anything special. Nah, they're a bunch of sinners, just like you, just like me. And I know some of them. But they're at a place where the Spirit of God, through the gospel, opens their eyes to see ever more clearly that Jesus is the Savior, the Christ, the true Son of God. And he opens their heart through that gospel to fill them with a love for the Savior and for souls, to fill their heart with the desire to pray and prepare, to go as a pastor or a teacher or a staff minister, to go to places they've never been, to serve people they've never met, that others might have their hearts open to the love of God in Christ and their eyes open to see Jesus as the only Savior. Oh, I did it again. I'm sorry. I start telling my story. I don't watch the clock. You've been very patient. Thank you for listening. But don't you see I get excited? I was blind, but now I see. By nature, you were too, but now you see. And my heart was changed from fear and worry. And your Savior comes back for you, doesn't he? Even today, and comes to you again. And says, my body, my blood, given, poured for you. And he fills your heart with the peace that passes all understanding. My attempt to bring to life the healing of the blind man from John chapter 9 is also an invitation to you. I'm going to ask you sometime today or this evening to read through John chapter 9. The whole chapter deals with this miracle healing, but also Christ's persistent and patient love to come back again and to focus that man's heart on salvation in Jesus. Please rise. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
In the words of the Nicene Creed on page 11, your service folder. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord,
Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We bring our offerings to the Lord. We rise to pray. Included in the prayer of the church this morning will be petitions for several people. Jack Gallagher, who this week in a fall fractured one of his neck vertebra. Also David Tritch, who has a long-standing
hospitalization for pneumonia, and also for Toni Easter, the daughter of our member Marilyn Hansen, who may be diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. We pray. Lord and Savior, you have purchased us to be your own for all eternity. You are the light of the world, and you have opened our eyes to see the truth that we are lost and condemned sinners, and that you are the one who will redeem us. You have made our hearts your own through word and sacrament. You have given purpose to our time in this life by making us witnesses to lost sinners. We thank you for the high privilege of working with you to gather your elect into your kingdom. As you looked with compassion on the lost sheep of Israel, grant that your Holy Spirit may move us to look with compassion on the lost of our days. How sad that some people will be sent into eternal damnation because they have rejected you. Fill us with zeal to do all that we can to bring them the precious gospel, so that they too may experience the joy of being your disciples. Enable us to be faithful witnesses to all whose lives we touch, whether it be in the privacy of our homes or in our communities. We thank you for missionaries and their families who are willing to live and work in distant lands. Keep them from harm of body and soul, and give them joy in their difficult assignments. We thank you as well for those who teach the young people of our church body as they prepare to be pastors and teachers and missionaries. Above all, we ask you to bring those who hear the word to repentance and faith. Look with compassion on all people, especially those who are suffering. Give help and relief to all who are in need. Grant your loving care to Jack Gallagher and to David Tritch and to Toni Easter. Be with them in this difficult time. Grant them healing according to your will. Although we have failed you again and again, we have learned to know you as a patient and merciful God. We ask you, therefore, to forgive us for the many times we have failed to share the message of your love with those who need it most. Renew us, restore us, and use us to proclaim your love by word and deed to all people near and far. May many more rejoice with us and we with them when together we stand before your throne of glory. We ask this in your most holy name, O Savior, light of the world. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
We lift up our hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good and right that we should at all times and in all places give you thanks, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty and everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who preserves his church to the end of time, when he will come again as King to judge all people and take his own to glory. Therefore, with all the saints on earth and hosts of heaven, we praise your holy name and join their glorious song.
Blessed are you, O God Almighty, who through Jesus Christ, your eternal Word, created all things and made mankind in your own image. Blessed are you, O merciful Father, for when Adam sinned and lost your image, you did not forsake the people you had created. You sent your only begotten Son to take on human flesh through the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary. As our substitute, he fulfilled all your laws in our place and died the death we deserve because of our sin. Blessed are you, O God, our Savior, for you have gathered us here to remember Jesus' sacrifice on our behalf. In this meal, you give us his true body and blood, which paid our debt to you and assures us of your forgiveness. For all of your undeserved love toward us, we give thanks and praise to your living and life-giving name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Our confirmed members and those guests who have previously announced to a pastor may step forward now at the direction of the ushers.